Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
The painful facts of life is that people of God do not always get along with each other.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church, and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Pastor Heron returns to the book of 1 Peter today as we look at the end of chapter 1 and the beginning of chapter 2 in a message called Portraits of Pooling Together.
I was driving back from L.A. down to Escondido on I-15 with my dad. We had went to visit my brother. I have two older brothers, one that's been out here before as a coach in college, and then my oldest brother, who is educably slow, lives with two other friends of his, Jim and Sandy. They're also educably slow, and I have the best time with them. We go to In-N-Out Burger, and we have a wonderful time. So we went up and saw them, and then driving back down to Escondido, my brother had given me a number of a lady that he wanted me to call, and she wanted to talk with me. So I'm driving down I-15, hands-free devices in California now. It's illegal to have a cell phone, and so I have my little device on, and I punched this number. It was Mrs. Shad. Mrs. Shad is the neighbor across the street from 1444 East Danes Drive, West Covina, California, where I grew up most of my childhood at that location. So I called her. I said, "Hello, Mrs. Shad. This is Marty Heron." I haven't talked to her in 30 years plus. She still lives in the same location when I was there some odd years ago. She's still there. And it was quite an interesting conversation. And she said, "Marty Heron, your brother Tim came by and saw me, and I just couldn't believe it." "Really? Well, I just wanted to let you know, Mr. Shad, that I had some great memories as a child, and you've just been a good neighbor." "Well, thank you. You know, we had such a wonderful time when you guys were growing up." She had four children, and I was one of three. And they were kitty corn. They're Irish. They were Catholic. They were really good people. He worked, I think, at a postal place. And right across the street from me, next door to them, was the Dubins. And so she got filling me in on all these families, a part of our neighborhood. The Dubins, Jewish people across the street. And they had two kids our age. Then this way was the Romeros, a Mexican family that I had about 82 children. And then next to them was another family, and I don't remember their name, but they had a pool. And so it was cool because we go swimming in the pool. And back over here was Rusty that had two sisters. And I don't remember their names, but I do remember they were Beatle freaks. And they went and saw the Beatles. And then next door to them was my next door neighbor, the Deckards, Don and John and Louise Deckard. And this is where we lived. And next to us was a man, I don't remember his name because he didn't have any kids. He worked, and all he did was work on his car in his garage, and it seemed like it never left the garage in 82 years I lived there. And next to them were the Horns. So she's filling me in on all of these people, okay? And so all these flashes coming, and I'm driving down to my dad's, and then she says, "And you know what, Marty? Tim told me that you're a pastor." And she starts laughing. She said, "We just couldn't believe it. You know, we had a get-together a while ago, and everybody found out you're a pastor in Guam. We just can't believe it." And I'm thinking, I'm driving like this. My dad is asleep, okay? I'm thinking, "Really? You can't believe it? Huh? I suppose, now, why can't you believe that, Mrs. Shad?" "Well, you were smiley, but, you know, I just couldn't see you doing this." And "Yeah, I guess so. Couldn't see me either. There you go." And she came back and said that again at the end of the conversation. So I got my point. Okay, there you go. But you know what? I then had all these flashbacks of the neighborhood. We were typical baby boomers growing up in the 50s and 60s, late 50s, 60s, into the 70s, tumultuous times for our country. And so all these flashbacks, all the neighborhood kids, we were out there playing all the time, stickball and dodgeball and hide and seek, in and out of everybody's backyards and front yards and lemonade sales on the corner. And, you know, any car that drove by that's not supposed to be on our street, everybody knew who it was. And I thought everybody had this kind of like neighborhood. And not everybody had a neighborhood like that, but that's what our neighborhood was. And she said to me, interesting statement, a couple of them. One was, she said, I have a tendency to live in the past. The memories are sometimes better to live there than the present right now. And then she said, but you know, I'm so glad that our neighborhood, we had a neighborhood that even though everybody was so different, there was such a harmony and a oneness, and you kids just had a great time playing together. I have so many good memories. And I'm driving on a highway. Here I am 40 years later. And I'm thinking, you know, Lord, I'm thankful I have that neighborhood, that the good memories. I mean, very good memories, thankfully. And then also realizing that it was quite a diverse neighborhood. Lots of differences. But when it was all said and done, there was a genuine, healthy environment and a harmony. That's exactly what she said. And that as a backdrop, if you can understand that in a neighborhood, this is what Peter's burden was for churches in his day when he was penning this letter, knowing they had all this suffering going and all of the privileges that he was trying to say to them, you're privileged that God is giving you this treasure of suffering out of his goodness, out of his mercy, out of the Christian privileges that you have. That suffering can have a tendency to rip apart your church, your family, the very foundations of who and what you are. And he was trying to encourage them, don't let that happen. And that's why in the very first chapter, he got talking about walking in harmony. And this particular passage, if you have your Bibles, turn there to 1 Peter. I want you to understand very simply today that in the midst of the suffering and the gospel and the cross is what pulls together all those differences, the Jews and the Greeks, the barbarians and the free, the Scythians, and those that were in rural areas and urban areas and all becoming one. And this is why Peter takes this passage and he gives portraits, because he knew for those people he was going to explain things to them. But he said, let me give you some portraits of examples of things that are going to be pulled together and should be tight. Because when they're like this, then you can't pull these things apart. And there are four of them that he put in this passage of Scripture we're going to look at. Look in verse 22, because really, the painful facts of life is that people of God do not always get along with each other. And you would think that those who, in chapter 1, talking about walking in hope, the lively hope within us, talking about verse 13 and 14, about the holiness of God in verse 15, be holy because I'm holy. And you'd think out of all of that, that boy, it'd be natural that everything is pulled together and everything's one and it's all this harmony, but it wasn't. So that's why Peter said in verse 22, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, that you would through the Spirit unto an unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently, deeply. And the two words of love are the very words you'd be familiar with. Philadelphia, brotherly love. It's the godlike sacrificial love. And we share both of those loves, of Philadelphia love and agape love. Because sharing the brotherly love, your brothers and sisters in Christ, you have a lot of likeness. You see a family, you think, man, you can see it. There's this likeness. They're all from the same family. And at the same time, the agape love covers the fact that that love is going to end up covering all the differences. And this is why he lays that out as a very simple foundation to understand that in verse 23, he gives us the first of the four portraits. The first portrait he uses is the idea that we are children of the same family. We're children of the same family. This is what he says from 22 through chapter 2, verse 3. And notice, these are the two common factors. One of those is that we've experienced the same birth. Notice verse 23, being born again. And there's the term born again that Peter used from Jesus' own words. When Nicodemus said, you've got to be born again, Nicodemus. You've been born once of water out of your mother's birth canal, and you're going to be born of the Spirit, spiritual birth. And we are genuinely twice-born people in a once-born world. If you're a Christian, you're twice-born in a once-born world. And so he says, listen, we, as a portrait of something, don't let this thing pull you apart. No more than you would want as children being pulled apart of the same family. Because you're birthed together of the same birth. This is why he says the corruptible seed versus the incorruptible seed, the Word of God. Because he's now talking spiritually. You are born again of the Word of God. He quotes out of Hosea chapter 1. When he says, all flesh, verse 24, is as grass. The glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth. The flower thereof fades away. And he's using an illustration by saying, just like grass that comes and goes, so it is with the Word of God that won't ever do that. It's going to last forever. And notice the key word is the gospel is preached unto you. This is what changes everything. The gospel, the good news. This is what helps people be born again. And he makes this distinction between a person that's born once physically, you're living, you're breathing physically, and born twice spiritually now. You're living and breathing spiritually. And this is why he says we've experienced the same birth. And look at chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. You have the same spiritual food. To whom coming, he says, let's start in verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, guile, hypocrisies, envies, evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And he says, verse 3, if so be you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. And he's very simply saying an understandable concept that we have appetites for the word just like hungry newborn babies. And it's such a simple, natural, obvious illustration that Peter says, listen, if you're alive, you're going to crave. See the word? He says, you're going to desire the word crave. You're going to cry out after milk. I got to get this. And Peter's just saying, listen, if you're born again, you're going to get hungry for the Word of God. There's something inside of you. Man, I just need that. And you do need that. You need it like every day. But there are people sometimes that they like, you know, you open up the Bible and it's just dead. It's dull. It's not saying anything. There's really no hunger for it. You see, I was that same way during teenager. I thought I was saved. But man, I understood it intellectually. But I was missing it in my heart. This is what Peter is saying.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Heron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.